Hello and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Well, today's podcast is number 923. The topic is training and the title is Getting the Most from the Least. So we had somebody reach out recently and it was a listener through the podcast, and they kind of gave some backstory and said they've been listening for a while, so thank you very much. And one of the things that they're struggling with is they don't feel like they have a lot of time to dedicate to working out. So they've been listening to the podcast from a recommendation of a friend. So thank you so much to the friend and to people who tell other people. Thank you. Because we've been able to make a significant impact into other people's lives. So the more people you share this podcast with, I truly hope it's good information. And it seems like we're getting good responses that this information is helpful. But the more people we can share the podcast into, the more people we can help. So please, please, please share the podcast. It means a lot. And thank you for those who do. So, this person is a mom, a stay-at-home mom. They have a side job they're doing, just a lot of demands, and just they're struggling a little bit with trying to take care of their own health while addressing everyone else's needs. And who doesn't feel that way? So, what they're struggling with is they've been able to listen to the podcast from time to time when they're driving in the car, you know, driving themselves around, driving like family member around. They'll listen to the car, to the podcast while they're doing, you know, laundry, doing some other odds and ends. So she says that she doesn't have a lot of time to work out, but she has been able to find time to listen to the podcast. And that's been helping her realize kind of, it's actually helping her to maybe question the time that she does get to work out. Is she spending it on the most impactful things? Is she using her time well? Is she getting the most from the least? Meaning if she can only work out two or three times a week, is she getting the most from that? So, paraphrasing a little bit, but essentially what we're getting down to is I can only work out twice a week consistently. Sometimes she gets three times a week. Very rarely does she ever not get twice a week. But sometimes she can get three. Never really ever gets four, but that would be awesome if she could. But really, twice a week she knows she can do. She's doing cardio and beach body kind of workouts. So she has a bunch of like DVDs that she'll watch, and they're variations of body weight workouts. And she says in general they take kind of 15 to 30 minutes, pros and cons, give and take. Sometimes you'll watch like two of them and do a workout like back to back, but roughly 15 to 30 minutes. And then she does 15 to 30 minutes of cardio. So they have a elliptical in their house. So she's doing cardio and beach body kind of body weight workouts. She said that she has lost some weight from when she first started, but she doesn't feel like she looks any better. And she hasn't really doesn't feel like she's getting any stronger. So she doesn't feel any stronger in what she's doing, like trying to bodyweight squat, jumps, and lunges and stuff still feel very challenging to her. She still feels kind of wobbly, doesn't feel confident with them. And although she has lost weight on a scale, she doesn't look good. She says she still has the saddlebags on her thighs. She still has a little pooch in her lower belly. There are some things that she doesn't like the way that she looks. So what we started talking about was basically how she can get more from this, like how she can get the most from just two workouts a week. But a concept came up that I wanted to put into today's podcast that I think is something that universally is beneficial, is that we should be using our nutrition, what we eat, to control calories. We should not be using our training. What I mean by this is, she said the reason why she does cardio is to burn calories. To which my smart-ass reply was, why don't you just eat less? Now, I know I'm an asshole sometimes, but that is, it's a question that maybe is valid to ask. If you eat food to the point where you think you have to do cardio to burn off some of that food, eat less food. So there you go. Now, I know there's a bunch of challenge to that, and there is a whole industry as to why people struggle with eating less food. But this is something that we want to consider, is your nutrition should control your calories. So that way, when you do exercise, you can devote the exercise to other benefits. Other benefits such as increasing strength, increasing balance and stabilization, increasing muscle shape, So she said that she had lost weight, but she doesn't feel like she looks any better. She doesn't have improved muscle shape. Well, if all she's doing is cardio, cardio doesn't promote muscle change, right? Well, if you don't know that, that is right. But cardio doesn't change the shape of her muscles. It doesn't change the shape of what's underneath the fat. So as she would lose fat, she realized she looks exactly the same. She just looks smaller. But it's still no shoulders, still, you know, thick upper thighs, no muscle around the knee, still kind of like, you know, shaky, wobbly arms. It's still like that lack of shape change that she thought would happen as fat came off. Well, what you want underneath the fat is beautiful muscles. What have you done to build those beautiful muscles? And if all you're doing is cardio, what are you doing that's going to make you stronger? What are you doing that's going to give you better balance? So if she has the goals of getting stronger, of improving her body shape, improving balance, but she has to devote all of her training time to burning off calories through cardio, it seems like we're not doing the most efficient thing, right? Why don't we use our nutrition to control the calories? So then we can use our training to control body change. If I want to build muscle, shape muscle, if I want to build strength, I want to improve flexibility, mobility, balance. That's what training is for. Training should not be devoted towards caloric control. That's what your nutrition is for. So this is a concept that a lot of people get wrong. She is spending her only two times a week, her precious time of exercise, doing cardio. And it's such an inefficient use of time. Cardio only burns calories. It doesn't do jack shit to change your muscles. It doesn't do jack shit to make you stronger. It doesn't improve your balance. It doesn't improve your flexibility, mobility. It does nothing but burn a few calories. Now, what about the body, like the beach body classes? What about our body weight kind of classes? The problem is that once you get past kind of a beginner stage of physical fitness, like a true beginner, your body is now actually kind of used to doing some lunges, used to doing some bodyweight squats, used to doing some planks. Once your body weight is used to moving itself around, doing so no longer produces more change. Your body adapted at first because that was a new stimulus. But what new have you done lately? We've talked about this before, and I think we all kind of inherently know the example that if I run a mile today, it's going to be miserable. But if I run a mile every day, in 3 or 4 months, that mile is going to be much easier. It might even feel like just a warm-up. It might not feel like it's challenging anymore. If I repeat a stimulus over and over and over, my body will adapt to that stimulus, but not beyond. Continuously running 1 mile a day doesn't get me better at running 2 miles, then 3 miles, then 4 miles, then 5 miles. I can't get ready for a marathon by running 1 mile a day. If you want to increase strength above the difficulty of just moving yourself, you have to have a stimulus above the difficulty of just moving yourself. Once you get past the beginner stage of exercise, your own self is no longer challenging enough. Now, somebody might say, what about calisthenics or plyometrics or bodyweight style training? There are ways in which to use your body weight in extremely mechanically disadvantageous positions, like very difficult positions, to where you can use yourself to build muscle. But most people are not strong enough in their joints and connective tissue and kind of their coordinational abilities to do those weird hard positions. So you might see somebody in a YouTube video, they're at a park and they're doing, you know, muscle ups on a pull-up bar. yeah, muscle ups can help you build a bigger back, bigger arms, you know, kind of get your body in more shape. But who the hell is going to go from, I can't do one pull up to now doing muscle ups? It takes a long ass time. There's a lot of variations. There's a lot of progressions. There is extreme challenge to getting to the stage where you can do those things. Most people don't know the right way to progress. And training just twice a week, doesn't really provide the most expedient kind of fast stimuli to get you to that stage fast enough. So, what we want to think of is nutrition is to control our calories. Our training should be to control our body, to make changes to our body. We want to use our workouts as time to produce strength, challenge our balance, flexibility, mobility. We want to use it to manipulate our muscles in the way we want. We want shape, whether we want building. We want to use our training to stimulate muscular and systemic changes to the body, not just burn calories. So, what I want to go through today is a simple workout structure that you can use that accomplishes all of your goals. It even helps you burn calories, but you should be focusing mostly on that with nutrition. So how do I get the most from the least? How do I get the most results from the least amount of training? Here's your answer. Lift weights. This doesn't mean that I don't like cardio. It doesn't mean that I don't like running. Cardio and running are great. Awesome, awesome, awesome. But if you want to get stronger, running doesn't do that. If you want to improve muscle shape, running doesn't do that. If you want to improve balance, running doesn't do that. If you want to improve mobility and flexibility, running doesn't do that. What is a more useful activity for us to use if we have limited time? Lifting weights. Lifting weights can improve our cardiovascular health, just like running would. Lifting weights helps us burn calories, just like running would. But lifting weights helps us build muscle, helps us improve strength, helps us increase our balance, mobility, flexibility. It gives us everything. Why do people hide away from lifting weights? It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. We don't know what we're doing. And when we're in the wrong positions, it hurts something. It can annoy your lower back. It can bug your shoulder. You can have physical pain from lifting weights incorrectly. So, learn how to lift them right. If lifting weights gets me everything I want, but I don't know how to do it well, don't do something else. Learn how to do it well. If I need my car fixed, but I'm not a mechanic, I don't know how to fix my car. I can't go start to garden. Can't grow a garden and it actually result in my car fixed. I know that sounds stupid, but that's how stupid it is to say, I want all the results of lifting weights, but I don't know how to lift weights right, so I'm going to go run. That's the same thing as, I need my car fixed, I don't know how to do it, so I'm going to go start a garden. If you don't know how to lift weights well, you don't have to hire me, I don't like hire anybody, but just get help. You can look up YouTube videos for free. So every program I ever write for all of my clients, every single exercise has a YouTube video combined with it that has kind of a tutorial. It's like somebody showing you how to do it, giving you tips on form, tips on how to be safe. The information is out there. Yes, you would have to do the work to go find it. Yes, you'd have to do the work of experimenting and trying and seeing what works and doesn't work. If you don't want to do all that, hire someone then, and then they'll do all that for you. But you can't have it both ways. You can't not know how to do it and have absolutely no time or financial investment into learning how to do it. If you want things to be better, you have to be better. You have to give more. I don't have more to give. Yes, you do. Find the money. Find the time. Find a way. I'm going to give you an example right now of something that you can use and do that doesn't require a lot of money. You do have to have some kind of weights, so you have to buy some dumbbells. You don't have to buy 1,000,000 dumbbells. You don't have to buy $1,000 of dumbbells. There are select adjustable kind of at-home dumbbells you can buy for $200, $300. You can also just buy a couple sets of free weight dumbbells from, you know, Amazon or Walmart for, you know, $50. But if you want to get better in regards to increased strength, increased muscle shape, increased balance, increased mobility, you have to lift weights. Balance stuff, I mean bodyweight stuff, does work for a little while. And it can work if you continually, progressively get into more challenging and difficult positions. But it's hard to know how and when and what ways to do that. It's not impossible. There are videos out there. But that's the challenge you'll face. When you say, oh, my body weight no longer works, it does. You just have to find a different way to work it. So here's an example of something that you can use today to get the most from the least. Your workout structure should include and begin with mobility movement preparation. What this is you're preparing yourself to move. You're preparing yourself to do the more aggressive weight-loaded things in the workout. A typical movement preparation that I like to do is something that helps to kind of activate and kind of challenge your core muscles so that way you'll feel them helping you brace during bigger lifts. Something that challenges your shoulder structure, because a lot of people need to improve shoulder strength, which then also improves posture, because a lot of people have problems with posture. And something that challenges your hips. Your hips can contribute to poor posture, and most people have weak musculature based around their hips and where they're tight, kind of they're not moving well. Also, if you have balance problems, it can be because your hips are not in proper alignment, proper natural positioning. So we do something for our movement preparation that addresses the core, shoulders, and hips. These are typically bodyweight movements or very lowly weighted movements, very low weight, because we're just kind of starting. We're just getting moving for the day. We're not going to jump under, you know, 500-pound lift right out the gate. So you have to get moving. An example you can use is to do dead bugs. If you don't know what any of this is, pause, write it down, and you do a YouTube search, okay? But do a dead bug that helps with core strength. It also helps with hip positioning. And there are actually variations of it. You can even include shoulders if you wanted to. But you do a dead bug, then go into glute bridges. Glute bridges, again, help kind of work on your core. Help work on your hip alignment. It also helps to work on glute and hamstring strength, which most people are weak on. And then also it can help if you do it in proper positions in certain type of variations, it can help open up tight hip flexors. So you get a lot of bang for your buck by doing glute bridges. There are double leg, single leg, explosive single leg. There are a bajillion variations of glute bridges, but that would be something else to do. Like you do dead bugs, go into glute bridge, and then you roll over and do a plank variation. This does not mean the passive plank you see people do for like 10 hours straight. That's a stupid variation of a plank. So you want to do plank movements. Movements in which you're resting on your elbows or your hands. You're kind of doing limb extensions or contortions or twists. There's a bajillion variations of plank movements to where you have to have shoulder stability, core stability, hip alignment stability, while also doing movements while maintaining neutral alignment of the spine. But if you do a circuit of dead bug variation, glute bridge variation, plank variation, that's going to be a freaking awesome way for you to correct postural issues, help strengthen your core, your shoulders, your hips, helps work on balance and mobility. All the good stuff right there. Then an example of the next thing we would go into is kind of strength and balance work. You would do a superset where you're doing one exercise combined with another exercise, or a circuit, which is three or more exercises all in a, together. You do exercise one into exercise two into exercise three, then you would take a rest. But you would do strength and balance work. So a circuit somebody could do would be a dumbbell split stance stiff leg deadlifts. That helps on work on unilateral strength, helps work on hamstrings and glute development, lower back stabilization and bracing, core positioning, and it can also help improve posture because you're having to hang hold onto dumbbells. You would do dumbbell split stance stiff leg deadlifts. You can then go into a dumbbell goblet hold explosive front lunge. So a dumbbell goblet hold means you're holding a single dumbbell in front of your body. You're going to do a front lunge where you lunge out into the front foot, but you have to explode and drive through that front foot to push you back to where you started. So not a walking lunge where you step forward with the front foot and then bring the back leg forward as well, and you travel forward as you do multiple reps. We're talking about a static front lunge. So you step out, you explode through the front leg to drive you back into the starting position. The reason why is that more aggressive on the knee, the musculature around the knee, in a good way, because the dumbbell split stance stiff leg deadlifts works on mostly the posterior chain of the body, the low back, glutes, and hamstrings. So a front lunge helps to work on the front side. It helps work on your quadriceps, the musculature around the knee rather than the hip. So they're very complementary. You can then go into a single leg balanced hip hinge into knee raise, which is basically you balance on one leg. You mimic doing a stiff leg deadlift, but as your torso comes up, you raise the knee of the leg that's not on the ground, and you kind of go from what looks like you're staying with your knee up, like you're getting ready to do a step up, but there's nothing in front of you, and then you tilt forward into a stiff leg deadlift, and then you come standing back up and raising that knee again. This works on ankle, knee, hip stability, and it also works on positional awareness control, and it helps you kind of recover a little bit in your musculature, so that way you can go back to the split stance, stiff leg deadlifts, go back to the front lunges with recovered muscles, but it uses that recovery time to work on balance. Then, after your strength and balance work, you would do muscle manipulation circuits, which helps also increase cardiovascular stimulus and health. So, for example, you might do dumbbell skier swings into dumbbell thrusters into just burpees, bodyweight burpees. Now, if you do this workout, you will hate me because it's going to kick your ass. But this is a workout that can easily be done in 40 minutes. Well, not easily. It'll be challenging as hell, but it can be done in 40 minutes. Let's say it that way. It can take an hour if you're brand new to this and you need more recovery time. Sure, fine. Especially if you're also watching videos and trying to learn along the way. But this is a workout that covers all of your needs. It trains the entire body. It works on strength, muscle shaping, balance, range of motion, kind of flexibility, mobility, burns a shit ton of calories, and it helps improve your cardiovascular health. If you use workout structures that have movement preparation, accounting for core, shoulders, and hips, then you go into strength and balance circuits, and then muscle manipulation circuits, you will accomplish all of your goals. You will be getting the most from the least. So again, to sum this up, is in order to get the most from the least, don't use your training to just burn calories. Your nutrition is what you would use to control caloric intake. Nutrition controls calories. Training produces physical changes. Okay. Well, take everything I said here. Try that workout. I'm going to run through it real quick again, okay? So the first circuit is dead bug variation, glute bridge variation, plank movement variation. You're going to probably do around 3 rounds of somewhere between 20 to 60 seconds of challenge. This is hugely just windows. So, you know, kind of give me some leeway with it. I'm not giving exact numbers. But dead bug variation, whatever you feel is super challenging for 20 to 60 seconds, somewhere in there. Glute bridge variation that you feel is super challenging between 20 to 60 seconds. And a plank movement variation that you feel is challenging between 20 to 60 seconds. Do 3 rounds of that. Then go into strength and balance work circuit. Try this exact example. Is do a dumbbell split stance stiff leg deadlifts. And again, I want you to try to aim for somewhere between kind of 10 to 30 seconds of time under tension challenge. Then do dumbbell goblet hold explosive front lunges. Again, 10 to 30 seconds of challenge per leg. Then do single leg hip hinge knee raise rotations, okay? Now, that's going to be roughly between that 20 to 60 second range per leg because that's non-weighted. Then go into muscle manipulation circuit. So you're going to do dumbbell skier swings, and we'll do that roughly somewhere between 10 to 30 seconds. Then we're going to do dumbbell thrusters between 10 to 30 seconds and burpees for 10 to 30 seconds. Try that for 3 rounds as well. So give that workout a try. It's going to kick your ass. You're going to love it. And it'll show you how much you can get from a singular workout, how much you can accomplish. So hopefully this was helpful. The big lessons are use your nutrition to control calories. Use your training to beat the shit out of the muscles and produce some strength. Okay? Don't use training to control calories. Don't think of training as just a way to burn calories. Don't do that. Nutrition controls calories. Training produces physical changes. Okay. Well, if you need any help with programming or anything like that, email us. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. We have a bunch of services, a bunch of options in which we can help you. But if you just have some general questions, you want to ask a couple things to get clarity, email us. That's fine. Okay? You don't pay me a dime. Just email me with what your questions are and I'll answer them. Our email is brutalirongym@gmail.com. Awesome. Well, if you like the podcast, please click like. If you think our podcast is helpful in any way, please share it. The more people we help, the happier the world can be. Then if you like the information we present in our podcast, check out our social media channels on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. If you have any questions, feedback, suggestions, if there's ever anything you need, email us at brutalirongym@gmail.com. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.